welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm in the studio with photography critic Sue Stewart, who's here to talk through three shows currently on here in London. We'll begin with a collection of work by Raymond Cochetier at the James Hyman Gallery, before wandering over to the Wapping Project Bankside, where we'll discuss the current exhibition, filmic, and the legacy of founder Jules Wright, who sadly passed away towards the end of last month. Plus, we'll head to Fresh Faced and Wide Eyed, which showcases 25 recent UK photography graduates at the Photographers Gallery. That is all ahead here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Sue. Great to have you with us, as always. Let's begin with Raymond Cochetier's New Wave, a revival of his work to mark the Parisian's 95th birthday. He's known for his work as the set photographer from, mostly during the 60s on many of the seminal films of the French New Wave, hence the title of the
Nouvelle Vague.
of the exhibition. What exactly is on at James Hyman? What are some of the treats on offer?
It's a room with large photographs, and they all come from the boxes that were hidden for years and years and years, and suddenly the family have brought them out. And some of them are done with him out in the street and in different places. He was either sort of backstage set, or he was actually informal because he knew everybody. So he'd have photographs of somebody like Belmondo walking down the street and being kissed by Jean Seberg. And these are all very young people. I mean, we're talking about the 50s and 60s, and it's at the same time as the whole existential stuff. So you've got all the Camus and the books going on at the same time as this. And the photographs going around the room, there's one absolutely great one, which is Jean Seberg again and Jean-Paul Belmondo in bed together under the sheets. I don't know how far in bed they are together, but it's a gorgeous picture. But the great ones are really some of the street scenes. And also there's one that I particularly like, which is a contact sheet that he's got. And it's photographs in a cafe in the street. And there's a meeting going on, and they're discussing something. And he's just kind of walking around taking these photographs.
Well, let me ask you, because a lot of people will say, oh, you know, they've got a very clear image of that French New Wave and of France of the 1960s, really, and that kind of cool. And a lot of it comes from the movies. They'll say, oh, you know, of course, I've seen Abu de Souf, and that's where I get the inspiration from. But someone like Cochetier, that actually was the documenter, maybe the person who actually fashioned a lot of what people understand that image to be.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think he wasn't composing. That was the great thing. It wasn't composed in the same way that, you know, there's a contrast going on at the same time with Hollywood, and it's very, very different. I mean, it's very, very sort of ordinary in some kind of ways. These are people that he knows and he photographs, but he doesn't set it up in the same way as you get stage sets with those countries. I mean, those films. So what you see from these is really the relationships between people and also the way they're working. And it's just very, very different and beautifully photographed. I mean, he's got an amazing sense of colour of black and white and tone on this. And it works really beautifully.
Do you think, in a way, it is almost that casual aspect that defines him and his eye as a photographer? Is that really what makes him stand out for you?
It is for me, actually. And the other thing that makes me think about it is the fact that paparazzis weren't there then. They were beginning because Bardot was being followed around, but this was going on in a very different way. And it seems like a very sort of calm thing, exactly what you say. They aren't kind of racing around, and there's no kind of awkwardness. It's a bit like what was going on in Cinecittà in Italy at the same time, but somehow that was a different thing as well. And also, he wasn't interested in the buildings or, you know, in those places in Italy. You usually have places in the background in Rome and so on. It's a really superb exhibition, and it needs more and more photographs of it. And there is a book coming out as well.
Oh, that's one to look forward to. Mm. And I just wonder, you know, is it very much focused just then on this sort of, you know, Parisian late 50s, 60s, or does the exhibition wander slightly further afield? Is there more to it, or is that really, you know, that's where the master was really at work?
Yeah, this is particularly about that era, because he's just had this birthday and they're honouring the birthday. So this is particularly on that. But there is much more. And he started out working for the French Royal Air Force when he was very young. And then later on, he started and went away to Vietnam and Laos on a trip to just see what was happening there and do the landscape. So it's very, very different. And there are just two of those photographs in the room, which are very, very different and really beautiful the way they're done.
That's Raymond Cochetier's New Wave. It's on at the James Hyman Gallery on Savile Row until the 14th of August. Let's move on next, Sue, to the Wapping Project Bankside for Edition 6 Filmic, a group exhibition that explores the overlaps and tensions present in the mediums of film and photography. But before we perhaps get onto the exhibition itself, though, we should talk about Jules Wright, who founded this institution and sadly lost her battle with cancer recently. Let's go back and look at what her vision was for the Wapping Project when it started back in the 1990s.
Well, she started out actually working in theatre. She worked in the Royal Court and she worked with theatre for a long time. And then she began to move a bit into photography and film, only slightly at that time. Then when she set up the project of Wapping Project Bankside and then finally the foundation, she was really into photography of all kinds. She was going right across the board of works. But what we have in this exhibition, it's interesting. The exhibition itself is in the sort of attic studio on Mallets, the auction house in Mayfair. And it's a great big lit room. So she's got this set up with all this. It was all planned to do it. And she's got works which are all connected up with film and photography and cinematic scenes. And she's worked with film a lot, but these are particular photography issues in the exhibition.
Well, tell us a bit more then about how exactly then these sorts of collaborations, these shows work with the artists, for example, who are taking part in Filmic. How do they come together to collaborate on this kind of project? How does it work?
Well, she knows a lot of these people. She's followed them. She's had, for as long as I've known, which is well over a decade or so, she's been having exhibitions from people who are really connected up with fashion in a lot of ways. For instance, Deborah Turberville and Alina Brotheras. Alina Brotheras follows in the same kind of line and doing a lot of fashion, but also she has, in this particular one, she's got a very beautiful sort of vague and misty naked woman facing the camera without showing her face. But it's really beautiful. There's nothing sort of pornographic about it. It's something strange about it. This is what is always there in these works, in this particular show. There's always a kind of mystery of you're not quite sure what these are about. And if you look at the set which is set in Krakow in Poland, Deborah Turberville, she makes a film scene in a studio which looks just like a film stage set. She's got two couples and the sisters are twins. And there's something going on between the couples, but you're not quite sure about it. And this is absolutely typical of the work she was doing of that particular time. Then it moves on to something quite different.
And there are some extraordinary images and there is this, I mean, a blurring, almost a literal metaphorical blurring, actually. And that speaks to this interesting sort of space, I suppose, between film and photography. And it's always been rather a fertile sort of ground to explore, hasn't it, creatively?
Yes, exactly. And the other person who was her partner for a long time, he's a filmmaker and also a photographer. And he's a German called Thomas Zanon Larcher. And she and him have put together a lot of work in recent years. And there's one particular photograph, which is absolutely beautiful. It's part of a film called Passage. And this is three arches in an area of snow in Oslo. And it's a particular area because the rocks are very high and the snow is there. And he's created something, and there's this figure with this tiny dot of a red coat on it. And that's the sort of thing that's come out some of the films, but they look also just very much like an ordinary photograph that you might see in a place you went to. And then the next one, the final one I'm talking about here, is somebody called Nora, who is the character in a film that comes up. And it's called Train Station 2 Oslo. And she's standing on a platform in Oslo waiting for a train. And then she goes on later to be in a film which is about born from an Ibsen play and made into Nora's play herself. And that's another way that Jules had also mixed up with Thomas in these situations of places and movements around into.
And there's some wonderful sort of Norwegian landscapes. I mean, let me just ask you a bit about the sort of curatorial process for something like this. We mentioned this idea of, film and photography and how these things overlap. And I said the word in the introduction about the word tensions between them. Do you think it's a complex challenge, really, to capture that kind of narrative, to curate a show that deals with film and photography? Or do you think it's carried off with some style here?
I think it's carried off immensely with style. I think that's what she's about. And, you know, she was like that when she was doing theatre early on. She was kind of she was curating the whole thing and setting it up and designing. She's always worked with design. So I don't see there's a tension. There's a great pleasure that she's got of moving between. And, you know, she had the Wapping pumping station over in Wapping, which she later sold. But she had that. And in that, there was a gallery down in the sort of pits where some of the equipment was. And she played around with those kinds of things. So she moved things around in a way that you didn't quite expect to see photographs in rooms like that. Everything she did was very kind of unexpected and mysterious. And I never work out half these things to begin with, and then suddenly you might think, but you make it up, actually. That's the great thing.
A real significant legacy, and you can see Edition 6 Filmic at the Wapping Project Bankside until the 21st of August. Sue, before we end, let's talk a little bit about Fresh-Faced and Wide-Eyed, which closed yesterday but has been showcasing a wealth of new photographic talent in the UK. Sue, let's just look back at that exhibition. Tell us, perhaps, I don't know, did any of the, were there particular standouts who really caught your eye?
I think there were some great ones, actually. Some of them are really clearly going to make a mark of themselves later on. And there were quite a mixture of different methods of doing it. They've all been nurtured slightly. They've been doing their degrees. They've been doing it for years. And you get these kind of similarities and familiarities in the well-known photographers. But then you suddenly get something that pops up. There's something like Jill Quigley's work, which is in Ireland, and it's demolished in empty houses. And what she did, she took the surface of the photograph and then embroidered a cat's cradle across it and then slaps paint on some of them. There's one very interesting woman who is Jocelyn Allen, and for quite a long time she's been working on getting very confident with herself from inside, and what she's moved into is nakedness. And her work she's done in this series is very interesting because it's always kind of sculptural shapes, the limbs. She's got those kind of very long limbs that kind of tangle together, and she creates a kind of sculptural effect. And I think that's going to be quite a far, that's going to move quite a way. There's somebody called Coco Capitan, and he's Chinese, and he went to China to do some work, and he was doing connecting up the relationships between here and there, and also outsiders and people he knew. And the work is really beautiful. It's kind of high design, almost like painted outfits people are wearing, and it's just very, very different from everything else.
And there's a whole range, very sort of international dimensions. There's Betty Laura Zapata's work as well from Venezuela, which I gather is sort of more of this sort of documenting some poverty, some pretty tough, meaty stuff to deal with, but again, done with real skill and accomplishment.
It was really great to see that, you know, because this is the post-Chavez era when everything's gone to, it's just absolute rubbish now because the health system's terrible, the education system's terrible. This was an X-rays place where all these people were sitting around in a terrible medical centre. So she just went into that and did it. She's obviously Venezuelan. And I thought it was great because nobody else in this particularly, as I've seen, is documentary in that kind of way. And it needed to have somebody who was doing that kind of thing, I thought.
Now, so we don't like to make people, pick specific people for individual praise, and it's always rather difficult to be put on the spot. But you mentioned that you see sort of bright futures ahead for these. Do you think there's somebody there who's got such a clarity of vision and such technical skill that great things await in particular? Do you care to name names? That's what we like.
Well,
to hear.
The ones I chose, actually, the ones I said, I've got a great strong feeling for all of those. I mean, it is surprising that a lot of these, because I see so many young photographers who just sort of finished their graduation, and so many of them are not very exciting, and a lot of them do copying and interpretations from others who are known. But actually, I think this is a particularly good year. This is the ninth year of this. And I'm going to stay with the ones I've said, but, you know, I could actually sit here. Shall I just sit here for 10 minutes and read them out?
Well, you could do. I think it's worth...
There is a really beautiful one. It's Sian Davi, and it's a little girl who's got Down syndrome. And she's got her pyjamas on, and she's in the house, she's doing things. And it's absolutely lovely. It's a very simple photograph, but it's just got something very, very warm about it. And I really like that photograph.
Wonderful stuff. Well, we like to look to a bright future ahead. And that's a fine note upon which to end. You can see some of those works that Sue's been talking about at Fresh-Faced and Wide-Eyed. It has finished now, but look out for the big names appearing in future exhibitions. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Sue Stewart, thanks very much indeed for joining us here in a nice and cosy, shall I say, Studio One in Midori House. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher. Our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. Music will be in the spotlight. But for now, thanks very much for listening.